Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Tom.
Hi, I'm Stephanie.
It's our all-English lecture for today. We decided to give the Chinese teacher the day off, and we're going to be speaking totally in English today.
Oh, so, I don't know if I can do that. Just English? Oh, no.
Just English. So, I don't know. Maybe I'm going to speak a little more slowly.
Yeah,
I'm not
let's do
sure
that.
Because you don't have the crutch of the Chinese teacher to explain things to you. So, you'll have to figure it out yourself. You're on your own.But that shouldn't be too difficult because we're talking about something that probably is very familiar to you. Teppanyaki, a playful dining experience. Teppanyaki, of course, basically means metal plate cooking, basically. And it's popular in Japan and it's popular here in Taiwan. And, of course, there are teppanyaki restaurants all over the place. Is that something you enjoy doing, having teppanyaki?
I've only gone once since I've been living here in 13 years, but I do like teppanyaki. It's just I usually go get something, then take it home and eat it. I'm usually on the run, but I do enjoy the taste of teppanyaki food. You know, it's really thin meat that's grilled with vegetables, and it's usually really tasty. But, yeah, I do enjoy, but I don't go as much as I probably would.Oh, actually, I've been twice. I went with a friend. I took her to a teppanyaki place. There is a chain of teppanyaki restaurants here in Taiwan. There's one in my neighborhood. There's one over by Heping and Fuxing that's really always pretty crowded because there's a college nearby. And,
makes sense,
yeah. The kids like to eat there.
It's usually pretty reasonably priced, and they give you a couple of vegetables along with some rice and something to drink, usually some kind of soup or something.
Sure.
So it's a pretty good deal. But, you know, the teppanyaki restaurants I've seen here in Taiwan don't seem to be like the ones in Japan where the chef actually puts on a show, and that's why we're calling it a playful dining experience. Maybe there are chefs who put on kind of a show here somewhere, but I haven't seen them. But we'll find out what this is all about in just a couple of seconds. So let's get to it. Let's read through the entire contents of today's lesson right now.
A burst of flame briefly surrounds a beautiful cut of Kobe beef. An egg is volleyed back and forth like a ping pong ball before the edge of a spatula cracks its shell.Knives and grill forks perform somersaults in the air. These sights and sounds are all a part of a special dining experience called teppanyaki. Hailing from Japan, this style of cooking was first introduced in 1945 by the Japanese restaurant chain Misono. Over the years, teppanyaki has evolved from a method of cooking to a form of culinary art.Japan's food culture often combines food with entertainment, and teppanyaki is no exception. Diners are seated around a large, sizzling iron plate called a teppan. They watch as chefs carefully craft a multi-course meal with brilliant skill right before their eyes, transforming the cooking process into a performance art. Eager to entertain,The chefs delight patrons with flying food, as well as their ability to slice ingredients with extraordinary speed and precision. In fact, the entertainment factor of teppanyaki dining is considered just as important as the quality and variety of the food. Blending Eastern and Western flavors, a typical teppanyaki menu features a lineup of tender cuts of meat, fresh seafood,an assortment of vegetables, and savory fried rice. Cooked at high heat and with just a drizzle of oil, only the finest ingredients are used to prepare each dish, making teppanyaki a fairly expensive dining affair. Seasonings are used sparingly and are only meant to draw out the natural flavors of the ingredients. Teppanyaki is truly a feast for all the senses. The next time you're looking for dinner,and a show, why not give teppanyaki a try?
Okay, everybody, let's get to it. Let's discuss the contents of today's lesson all in English. It's all about teppanyaki, a playful dining experience. As we begin the month of March here, teppanyaki, maybe you've had it, maybe you haven't had it. I remember the first time I had this was in Kansas City, Missouri, when I was taken there as part of a dental exam. This guy needed to pass his exams and I was his patient or something, but he treated me to a dinner at a teppanyaki restaurant where the chefs did this. They did this kind of juggling kind of stuff.
Was it Benihana's?
I have no idea. That
happened. That's a big American chain.
Many years ago. Yeah, it probably was. I wouldn't doubt it. But in any case here, this first paragraph here kind of describes what happens if you go to such a restaurant. A burst of flame briefly surrounds a beautiful cut of Kobe beef. So this is a burst of flame. That means it suddenly came out as if it were exploding. And it surrounds a beautiful cut of Kobe beef. Remember, cut is usually a verb, but if it's a noun, it just refers to a piece of meat, a cut of chicken, a cut of beef, etc. And that's what's happening on the skillet there, I guess it's called. And an egg.
The grill.
The grill. There you go. Yeah. I was looking for the word. I couldn't find it. But here's something else that would happen. An egg is volleyed back and forth like a ping pong ball before the edge of a spatula cracks its shell. So to volley basically means something flies back and forth through the air, like in volleyball. You know,
tennis.
In tennis. And here it's like ping pong. Ping pong ball volleys back and forth. This is like an egg going back and forth. And then the edge of a spatula cracks the shell of that egg. A spatula is a special tool that we use to fry food. It's got kind of a wide bottom there. You use spatulas when you cook food in woks at night markets, for example. And to crack something here just means to break something open, especially if it's hard.
Right. So, kind of fun to look at if they're sort of playing with food that way. I definitely think what they're describing here would match what happens at Benihana, which is a chain of Japanese restaurants in the States where they really do put on a show.
Okay.
I think I went when I was about 12 years old, and it was so different from what I was used to. When we were growing up, none of the chefs would come out and, you know, put on a show for sure. So it was kind of fun to see them do that. Plus, the food tastes really good. The meat they use is very thinly sliced and it's good quality. So, yeah, we are watching kind of a fun show happen as these chefs are cooking your food. Knives and grill forks perform somersaults in the air. A somersault is something an acrobat or even a kid would do when you roll your body over and over and over. It's a somersault. Mostly kids do it. I mean, of course, I could still do a somersault nowadays, but why? A grill fork are those really large forks they use actually to grill meat. If you're barbecuing meat outside or something, you might see a grill fork. And the knives are quite big, too. So they're throwing them up in the air where they're turning over and over. That's a somersault. These sights and sounds are all part of a special dining experience called teppanyaki. So teppanyaki doesn't belong to a restaurant. It's not a brand name at all. It's just what they call this type of cooking, where they cook on a flat grill in front of you. And the food is cooked very quickly. You don't have to wait 20 minutes to get your order, sometimes even longer if you go to some restaurants. You're waiting at your table for 30 minutes before you get your food. Not with teppanyaki. It comes to you very quickly.
It's kind of fun, too, because you're there with other diners.
Yeah.
You're sharing the same grill there together, so it's kind of a mutual dining experience. Well, hailing from Japan, this style of cooking was first introduced in 1945 by the Japanese restaurant chain Misono. Mm. Okay, so here we've got the phrase to hail from. Hail oftentimes is like a little white pieces of ice that fall from the sky. They're round. They can be as small as peas, and they can be as large as golf balls or baseballs. But in this particular case, hail is being used as a verb with the preposition from, to hail from, which means it's from that place. Hey, I hail from the United States. Really glad to meet you.
Right. Yeah, where do you hail from? It's kind of a fun way to say where someone's from or where you're from, hailing from. Oh, I hail from Arizona. Yeah, so it's a style of cooking that was first introduced way back in 1945 by the restaurant chain Misono, which I've never heard of, but I don't take a lot of trips to Japan either. So maybe you Japanese travelers out there have heard of this chain. I'm going to look for it the next time I go. Now, over the years, the teppanyaki has changed over time. That's what evolve means. To evolve means you change, but it happens over a long period of time. It's not immediate or sudden.Maybe your opinions about a person have evolved over maybe a decade of knowing them. Maybe you didn't like them at first, but the longer you got to know them, the more you're around them, the more you really appreciated them and loved them. So things can evolve in your life, relationships. Maybe your house has really changed a lot. It's evolved over time into different forms. Lots of people like to redecorate and do a lot of reconstruction. I've noticed that it's very popular here in Taiwan. My building tends to have people who are always redoing their bathroom or their kitchen or buying two apartments and then taking down a wall and making it into one.That can be transform as well. You can transform something from something. So it's evolved from a method of cooking to now it's considered to be a type of art. Culinary art means something that happens in the kitchen or is related to food, especially a country's national food, their cuisine, like the French cuisine or the Taiwanese cuisine is different from the Chinese cuisine. And there are lots of different types of foods around this world. And that's one of the fun reasons to travel is just to try other cultures' food. That's one of my favorite things.
Indeed. So it probably started off in one form in Japan there. Maybe they didn't do all the theatrics, all the tricks and stuff. They just cooked the food. And slowly, over time, it changed into the form we know and love today, where they not only cook the food, but they put on a show for you as well.
And maybe the grill started out back in the kitchen.
Eventually, they
thought, hey, let's move it out in front of our customers so they can see how we do this. Yeah.
Indeed. They were quite creative in the process there.
Yeah.
And who knows, it might change into something totally different in the future.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder what it will look like in 20 years. Well, here in the next paragraph, it says Japan's food culture often combines food with entertainment, and teppanyaki is no exception. So if you eat at a Japanese restaurant, sure, they serve you the food and stuff like that, but a lot of times they do other things to make the experience more memorable, like if you go to those sushi express places where the food kind of comes around on a conveyor belt.
Yeah.
That's kind of nifty. That's kind of a novelty. Instead of having someone come to your table, the food just kind of passes by you, and I'm sure there are other kinds of restaurants in Japan as well. I think there's the ones that you place your order at the door to into some kind of machine. You enter your order there or something.
I haven't done that.
That's
that?
An interesting little gimmick or an interesting little trick that you could try. So, yeah, I guess that all goes along with this idea that the food culture of Japan combines food with entertainment. And entertainment, of course, just means you're delighted to see something. You're given things to enjoy.Films, those are a form of entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
People go to karaoke places for entertainment as well. And teppanyaki is no exception. An exception means it's not part of the general rule. No, teppanyaki is part of this culture of combining food with entertainment.
Sounds fun. So, yeah, a lot of people like to go and just, you know, enjoy watching their food get cooked.I like the food itself. I'm not really going to see a show. I think the food is really yummy. So you can watch those chefs that they carefully craft a multi-course meal with brilliant skill. A lot of these chefs have been doing this for a while. And some of them are trying to show off, I have to admit. They definitely like people to get a delight out of what they're doing.Now, our listeners probably already know how this works, but the diners, the people who are eating, the diners, they're actually seated around a large sizzling iron plate that we've been calling a grill. So that iron plate is called a teppan in Japanese, or teppan, I don't know how they say it. But, so you're seated up around this kind of counter that surrounds the grill, I would say, in pretty high chairs, so you're high off the ground as well, usually. And that's where you're sitting. If the grill is sizzling or anything sizzling, the pan is sizzling, it just means it's got some oil in it and it's on a high heat. And you can hear it go crackle, you know. So it's sizzling hot. You want to be careful and not touch it. They try to warn you quite often. I noticed when I was at the teppanyaki place to be careful and not touch anything too close. Eager to entertain. That sounds like some of the young chefs. The chefs delight patrons with flying food as well as their ability to slice ingredients with extraordinary speed and precision. Yeah, that's part of the show, I think, is the way they're chopping. Any chef who's studied for a while is very fast when they chop things. I'm not because I don't want to cut off my fingers, but they're really good at it. If you're a patron, guys, it means you go to an establishment and either buy their products or eat the food there and you appreciate it. You're someone that's a regular customer. Typically, I wouldn't call just anyone a patron. Usually, it's somebody who goes and supports that place quite frequently that is a patron.
And we'll be right back to our program in just a second. Let's take a little break now, please. Stay tuned. Okay, so again, we're talking about the experience of going to a teppanyaki restaurant. The chefs are eager to entertain, so the patrons are delighted with flying food, eggs being volleyed back and forth. They juggle those spatulas and those cleavers and those knives and stuff like that. And also, they slice those ingredients with extraordinary speed. It's speed you just can't believe.
Really fast.
Extraordinary could also be a pronunciation for that, but most people say extraordinary. Beyond the ordinary, and they are, of course, very precise. That's the adjective, and precision is the noun. They cut that food with great precision.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the entertainment factor of teppanyaki dining is considered just as important as the quality and variety of the food. So, yes, indeed, you can judge your experience by how well they entertained you when they prepared your meal. If you like the food, that's great, but if they did a terrible job entertaining you, well, then it probably was a waste of time, a waste of money. But I'm sure they train for many, many hours in order to entertain you properly.
Yeah, I can't imagine someone not being entertained. The chefs I've seen, they seem to get a lot of enjoyment out of it. So it's fun to see people who enjoy their jobs. So blending Western and Eastern flavors. So they do try to take a little bit of the flavor from the East and the West and put them together. If you blend something, you take two things or more than two things, you mix them together so they become one thing. We blend food when we make things. Some of the recipes that you'll see will say, you know, mix the dry ingredients with the wet ingredients and blend until smooth. Or ladies, if you're putting on makeup, you might want to blend your foundation into your skin so you can't see where you've put it on at all. You might want to blend in. If you're in high school, if you want to blend in, you don't wear clothes that would just kind of stick out. You want to just look like everybody else. But a lot of kids don't want to blend in, and so they purposely wear things that are crazy or maybe dye their hair different colors to stand out. They don't want to blend in.
Indeed. So it's a mixture of Eastern and Western flavors, and this menu of teppanyaki features a lineup of tender cuts of meats, fresh seafood, and an assortment of vegetables, and savory fried rice. So those are the items on the menu. Tender cuts of meat. They're not going to be tough.
Mm-mm.
Tender means they're kind of soft and they're easy to chew. Tender's opposite is tough, as I said, T-O-U-G-H, tough. Oh,
yeah.
This steak is tough. I'm going to send it back. I don't like it. So here, of course, you've got tender cuts of meat. You've got fresh seafood. Japan, of course, is famous for its seafood. And a mixture of vegetables, an assortment, different kinds of vegetables, lots of different colors. Also fried rice that is savory, that is very flavorful with a great aroma. It's really tasty rice.
Yeah, if you see savory, you know it's more salty. It's not sweet. So if you see a savory dish, there's not a lot of sugar in it for sure. This sounds really delicious, I must say. So what do? They cook these things at high heat. And if you cook it at high heat, it's usually done pretty quickly. And they only use just a little tiny bit of oil, a drizzle of oil. If it's drizzling outside, it's raining, but it's kind of in between, like sprinkling and actual rain. It's not coming down very hard. It's not pouring at all. Sometimes the drizzling rain is just irritating. Sometimes you can get away with not having an umbrella. If you just try to maybe wear a baseball cap, you can get away with it that way. But we use that drizzle of oil quite frequently when we're talking about olive oil in particular, where you don't want to put on too much, but just a little bit. That's a drizzle of oil.
Maybe you could say a dab of oil or a sprinkling of oil, something like that. Not a lot of oil. And, of course, they only use the finest ingredients to prepare each dish. And that, in combination with the entertainment, it makes teppanyaki a fairly expensive dining affair. Now, yes, indeed, that's if you go to the expensive places where they do have these chefs that are highly trained and they can entertain you and stuff like that. But the ones that I've been to here in Taiwan are not so expensive. They're just, you know, average price. So you don't get the most exquisite ingredients. They're good enough. They're tasty. And the chefs don't put on any special shows, but they still do their job. We're just there, after all, to eat. But indeed, I suppose if you go to some of the high-class hotels or something like that, they'll have these restaurants that do have this entertainment along with the meal.
Some of our listeners are probably aware of this, especially people who cook themselves. But if you're trying to prepare a dish and you don't want to spend a lot of money on ingredients, you tend to buy pieces of meat that need to be cooked for long periods of time before they're actually tender. It's the really high quality stuff that you can cook very quickly or eat raw even, especially fish. So yeah, the nicer the ingredients, the quicker they can cook them. But if they aren't very good ingredients and it's a low quality, then it's going to be kind of tough and not very tasty. So I see why they tend to get these fine ingredients, because they're cooking on a grill very fast. Mm. Now, seasonings. What are seasonings? Things that you add to your food to improve the flavor. Beyond, say, salt and pepper, we have herbs and spices. You might like to add those sorts of things to your food. Some people always like to use steak sauce on steaks, which I think is awful. Why ruin a good piece of meat? Again, if you buy a very expensive piece of meat, you shouldn't need a lot of seasonings at all. But here it says seasonings are used sparingly. See, they don't use a lot of seasonings because the ingredients are so nice. If you're doing something sparingly, you're not using very much. You're being very moderate or economical in how much you use of something. And the seasonings are only meant to draw out the natural flavors of the ingredients. You'll often hear some of the world's best chefs talk like this. They don't like to add a lot of oil and butter and cream and heavy seasonings because they really want the natural flavor of the food to shine through. And that's what they hope happens with the foods they cook at these teppanyakis.
Right. So I guess I haven't eaten at such a place like this because I tend to think that, hey, you need to put lots of salt on there, a lot of garlic on there, a lot of steak sauce in order for it to taste good.
Oh, dear.
So I guess I have this false belief that food is good if you put a lot of sauce on it.
Not the good stuff. Supposedly, the less you put on, the better it is.
Okay. So indeed, they use these seasonings sparingly. They do use some, but not a lot of them, just enough to get the natural flavors of those ingredients to come out, to get the natural aroma of the beef or the pork or whatever to come out, and those vegetables and things like that. And it will probably be a one-of-a-kind dining experience. So here in the last paragraph here, we conclude by saying, teppanyaki is truly a feast for all the senses. Indeed, when you eat, it's usually a feast for your mouth, for your tongue, and maybe your nose as well. But in this particular case, because you get the show and you get the environment, and you get to sit at the grill with other people, and it's like you've gone to a theater or something like that, it indeed is an experience or a feast for all your senses, which, of course, is sight, hearing, smell, touch, and taste. But, of course, touch, you got to be careful about touching that grill because you might burn yourself.
Oh, yeah. Usually you're a little bit away from the grill, but I was pretty close to the grill the last time I went. And I remember the chef I had, it wasn't crowded where I was because I was eating early and he just kept going, be careful. I wanted to mention one of the best things about Japanese meat. If you're going to go for the beef, go for the Wagyu beef, which comes from cows that are treated like kings and queens while they're alive. They have a lot of fat in the meat. So you'll see a cut of Wagyu beef or Wagyu beef, and there are just lots of threads of fat going through the meat. That's amazing stuff. And usually they'll fry that quickly, and it's just so delicious. So it's expensive, though. Make sure you bring lots of money. And these teppanyaki places in Japan aren't cheap.
Right, but of course, if you do travel to Japan, you probably want to have the full Japanese experience.
Totally.
Along with the sushi and the mochi and stuff like that. So you're probably going to have to seek these restaurants out. We did talk about the main restaurant chain, which I think is still in existence.
Misono.
Misono, indeed. And there are probably other, you know, branches as well there.
Yeah,
you did mention
that,
branch, or no, that, sorry, that chain store, yeah, in the United States.
Yeah, they're still around.
They're still around.
There are 116 restaurants. They started in Florida. I was reading about it. Yeah, they're still around. There's a big one in the city where I grew up, and it was always kind of a treat. People would go, do you want to go to Benihana's? It was kind of exotic.
Benihana's, Well, yeah, like I said,
I don't
know.
It's Honghua in Chinese. Honghua, safflower, safflower.
Yeah, I guess you're allowed to say that in Chinese on the program. But,
oh, I didn't speak Chinese. No,
well,
that was just
English
bad. That was just bad Chinglish. Chinglish doesn't count.
95% of, if 95% of the program is spoken in English, then we're not lying to you.
Oh, no.
Because we're throwing out all sorts of Japanese words here in this lesson. Give us some slack here. We can't speak totally in English. But in any case, yes, teppanyaki, as we said, is truly a feast for all your senses. So the next time you're looking for dinner and a show, why not give teppanyaki a try? I would like to give it a try. But I'm unaware of any such restaurants here in Taiwan. I do know there's a chain of teppanyaki restaurants. But
there's one right in 101 on B, was it B2,
so
B1?
So the chefs there put on the show.
Oh,
they kind of throw stuff around and entertain.
A little bit, sure.
Do they sing in Japanese?
They do not sing.
No songs?
Well, you know what? I only walk past because the front is open to the crowds walking past. It's across from the fried chicken place.
Okay.
And then there's a bakery around the corner. It's right there as you walk in from the escalator on one side. So people know what I'm talking about. I think the English name is something like Kate. But,
or Kate, if you're speaking Japanese. I'm not quite sure exactly what you're talking about. But
anyway.
We always go there for Indian food.
Oh, do you?
And the pepper lunch place.
It's very close to the Indian place. I know where you're talking
about. Well, we're not supposed to be talking about the restaurants in 101. We're actually talking about teppanyaki, which, as you said, probably is in 101. And in various other places, even Zhanghua or Jia'i probably has a teppanyaki restaurant for you to enjoy. Okay, that brings us to the end of our lesson for today. We do thank you so much for joining us, and please join us again next time for another edition of our program when we talk about food, all in English. Until then, I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Bye.
Bye.